traveling along on the ocean next to my friend Marcus. A ship.
That's better.
Hmm.
That's interesting. The talisman is pointing right at that ship, Captain. Maybe we should head his way.
My ship, it started to rise out of the ocean. I go, oh my god, I am such a great captain. My ship, it now fly. I can raid the Grendel from the skies. They will not know what is coming. And then I think to myself, how much ill for you had to drink? That is not the case. So the ship, it rises almost like we have beached ourselves on an island. I look down from the deck and I see it, gray scales, as far as the eye can see. And I slide off the ship, I go down and I see it, the great Salmigrump. It is half salmon, half hippopotamus, with tusks, the size of buildings, small ones, but buildings all the same. I guide down it and I look into the eye and I give it that Varushkan death stare, you know the one. The one Babushka gives you when you are late for dinner. Anyway, I look it in the eye and it plummets into the ocean. It is scared of me because I am such a great ship captain. I climb back onto the ship and they ask me, what is that? I go, it is the Salmigrump. We shall never speak of this again. 2 minutes later, I am telling story all over the place. It was the size of 38 war rhinos. Very large, very large.
Oh, that seems a little far-fetched, friend. But maybe you'd like to hear a story in return.
Oh, my friend, I always like good stories. That would be good, though.
Well, here we go, continuing the story of the moves of Ra.
Welcome back.
Okay. So, at this point, it's probably worthwhile just starting it off with saying that Dave left
after breakfast.
Yeah,
I had breakfast with you guys and then
you had to head off,
and it was a horrible feeling heading away, man. It was really,
because Sunday was the day we all got to go to a major battle as our characters.
Yes. My first icy battle.
Yes.
So I mean, I've done a couple of skirmishes now, like,
yeah,
last time I only did one skirmish. This time I've did the skirmish on the Saturday, monstering on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're coming into, this is my first outing as my hero, in inverted commas.
Yeah, yeah.
And facing potential death after being obviously a first-hand witness to the onslaught of the Druge against Wintermark. And,
yeah, it's scary, right?
We're fighting the Druge again.
We're fighting these same guys. Are we just also going to get fucking destroyed? Is this the end?
Mm. Yeah. Like we could go. Yeah.
Two seasons and I'm done.
Yeah.
But it's like, fuck it, go for it.
I felt strangely confident, but at the same time, there was like just the nerves that you always get going into it.
Pretty bit on nerves. But then while we're all rallying up, none other than the Big D turns up.
Oh, just, Big D, man.
And obviously, knowing about his brand, he's also got several guys there with him who have taken the brand, including the guy who has the Mouse of Courage. Literally,
it's amazing.
So amazing. This
so what is the Mouse of Courage?
Basically, this guy had a little mouse on his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
Which they'd actually, I can't remember, they tried to actually get it, bless his name, and it became basically the Mouse of Courage.
Like, right. Imbues courage.
It imbues courage. People around this get courage, and it urges them on to obviously do more courageful acts.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this guy with us, who's part of Derek's brand as well.
So good.
So basically, me and Dave go, we basically will come along with you guys. Obviously, we know Derek's track record. He's a good guy. We'll stick with him.
Always stay with Derek.
And Derek's was basically heading up a unit with us lot. And obviously, you got separated off being an archer.
Yeah, so they put a call out for archers. And there was also a call out for medics. And this time, I just really fancied doing the archer game and focusing on that a lot more. And they just put a call up for archers and we headed over there. And we joined this group and it became basically just naturally evolved into the Navarchers. And
the Navarchers.
It was so good. Like, because the thing is, when you play as an archer, it can be quite like a solitary experience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like have that camaraderie that you have in, say, a shield wall or a melee where you're fighting with someone beside you and you get to sort of share an experience and it's very close, not personal. It's a lot more of a distance game and a tactical game. And when you take a shot, someone might say something like, you know, good shot or whatever. Or you might sort of temporarily teamwork with people, but you never really have a team and people around you who you're kind of working with. So going out as this archery block just suddenly instantly gave you that part of the game where you have a squad of people, you recognize them, they're people you look out for, you're going to try and move as a unit. It was fantastic.
In that first like monster battle, archers were really decisive, right? They really had a big effect on the battlefield. I was like, the idea of a archer block is something that I think is something I haven't really seen, but could be really, really devastating.
Well, it was.
I mean, so a shout out to Kaylee, she's her real name's Antonia, and she was like the leader of the Navarchers. And we've made like a group now, and we're kind of getting all the archers in who want to be part of it. And we're kind of work out what we want the group to be.
Mm-hmm.
But having played that and experienced like a type of play of archers acting as a military unit, it feels like something we could make like more permanent.
I think it's a really good idea for Navarre as well. I think it's a really good idea.
And like we've been sort of talking about it a bit. It's very much in its early stages, but we're kind of talking about maybe trying to get a couple of spear people into the unit. So we actually have that as an element. So we can actually, we're more than just a group of archers who happen to be in Navarre. We're, you know, an actual military unit that has certain resources at its disposal. So it almost fights like an old school Assyrian thing with like, you know, a thin shield wall and a bunch of archers behind
Very Assyrian, right? Like you swap out less like spearmen for
more archers. But the fact that we have some spearmen, obviously we haven't arranged any of this yet. Anybody who wants to join the Navarchers, who's a Navari archer, by the way, or anybody who's interested in maybe being a shield person, do give us a shout, because
such a good idea.
I think that would be a really cool unit to serve.
Okay, let's hear about your fucking awesome battle then, you bastards.
Do you want to go first with your?
No, you go first, because you got, like, for me, so I just basically walked through the gate, we formed this unit, and we started moving together.
Yeah.
But for you guys, you had the whole experience with, I guess, the majority of the army.
Yeah, so basically, again, it's going across the big field. Don't think we actually had any major engagements at that point at all. Basically, our objective, there was a few units there to try and slow us down, but when you go through that little bridge to get into the proper wooded area...
You went all the way round.
Yeah, pretty much unattacked, unmolested, I suppose.
There's a few dings trying to draw us away from our goal, which was to get through there where there was a fort.
Did you march in column, or you're a big block, or were you staggered units?
Really? It was quite a big block, really.
So a lot like the First Army.
And obviously we had Dawn with us as well.
Yeah.
And they were... Initially, the plan which was to go ahead was... Basically, Dawn are going to... We're going to go through. There's a fort in there we need to take... Mm-hmm. There's a couple of rituals that have to take place within the fort.
This is a fort inside the forest that we have to basically breach.
So it's dense forest, and you've got these wooden palisades up, and they're acting as walls.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean this fort is amazing. Like, it actually has ledges on the inside where you've got archers on top firing out.
So, hold on, these aren't just little wooden palisades. We're talking like
it's not like the orc battle that you had at the previous thing.
No, this is like, I mean, 6 foot high walls.
What the fuck?
With places people can walk
ledges
across,
on
little,
for
little
archers.
Firing
positions built into it, basically. Into it.
And basically, around it was dug a ditch with
a natural trench that's around it.
Almost. There's like a bridge coming off where the side entrance is, and the main entrance also has a raised.
So
bit.
Two bridges leading over
two
a natural
in.
Trench.
Holy shit!
The original challenge, what our original thing was, basically, the Navarre come in, and we're to guard the flank while Dawn storm through the front gate and take the fort.
I like it. It's a good plan.
So yeah, basically we're going and we're doing a load of side skirmishes. But then I think we had the marchers with us as well.
Well, at this
the
point
marches.
As well.
Yes.
At
okay.
this and point as well, it's probably worthwhile saying that like it was a major bow confrontation. Archery was a huge asset. Because
you're in
battle.
These you're basically presenting your forces to each other.
They have a lot of archers. And it basically, so forces just can't get towards the fort, right?
Yeah, the sort of initially.
Well, hold on, are you talking about there's pinning fire
coming from the fort?
We were the Navarre, the guys ours with, so like Darius and all that. We were dealing with little skirmishes inside all the ferns, where basically we're seeing units running through.
Yeah. So you got skirmishes attacking
the flank
the body of troops
before we can even get to where the fort is.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I believe it was the marches with us as well.
Yeah.
They start sweeping through these wood bits where we've been dealing with the skirmishes, and they are just...
Dude, marches, totally. Because they wear all the, like, the kind of...
The pikeman stuff.
Yeah. It's like you think, no, they actually fight in a way that is a lot like an awful lot of medieval fighters would have actually fought, and they are legit tough as balls.
They literally are just ploughing through these areas, and it gives us the chance to actually move into our position on the flank of the fort, and it ends up Navarre pretty
much... The second entrance.
Not just the second entrance. We also managed to get into the front of it while Dawn were dealing with orcs behind us. So basically, there's an orc shield wall literally at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I find out a bit later on in regards to how the fact that Navarre took the fort, not Dawn, was one of our priests had loaded up a mass strike down. Also a couple others.
Don't know, what does mass strike down do? Ian?
So again, like
Bungle, sorry.
With strike down, where you basically hit and the person has to go back. And fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you literally have to fall backwards.
You fall backwards. He's got mass strike down, which will basically do a mass area.
Everyone will have to move back.
So the entire doorway drops back. Navarre push in. There's then two casts of mass weakness across the orcs from another couple of Navarre. I think maybe even the same Navarre priest.
It sounds super metal, right?
And basically, Navarre end up taking the entire fort. There's a few bit of a battle within. Against the orcs.
Yeah, because you're dealing with people that are dead already,
and
right?
And we're filtering a load of them who are coming out the side as well. I took arrow to the chest during this point. I was basically taken down, basically read straight back up by someone. There's a guy on the bridge who cleaved Darius, and as he was going down, he took two arrows to the chest.
Wow. Oh.
And again, it was basically got him back from there and into a medic. And it was just...
I love that.
Absolutely insane. And then...
You fuck with Darius, you get 2 arrows in the chest, son.
No, Darius took 2 arrows to the chest.
Oh, right. Oh, damn.
Yeah. As he's going down from the cleave.
Do you hear any concern in my voice?
No.
No, we get him for medic keys.
Damn right, because the guy's indestructible.
Back up. He's also got a few herbs and potions with him to keep him going if need be. Or to give to others if they need it.
And obviously. The real cool thing about all this, so while this is going on the main entrance, and this is protracted throughout the whole battle, basically... There's just this intense arrow warfare going on. Like, their archers on the inside, ours on the outside. And it descends into almost like a kind of Stalingrad, street-to-street fighting. But in just the sense that there's just this little trench, and we've kind of knocked them off the wall through pinning fire. And so they're just, like, hiding behind this bridge and sort of taking shots over, and we're taking shots over. And people with shields are blocking the arrows. And then all of the arrows are ending up in the middle of the thing. So we're, like, getting shield people to go in there, get the arrows and bring them back. And we're constantly all sharing arrows. Our force is doing just a amazing job, just keeping all the archers just constantly fed. Mm. The melee forces just can't get close to it just because the arrow fire. It's like, it was crazy. It was like to the stages where, like, we were putting volley fire in and they were firing back. And it was like, arrow fire was like this. It was like, dum, 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 like that kind of speed. Just like, it was crazy. And it was just so awesome.
So you're at this like main entrance. Is that where you are?
Yeah, the main entrance, yeah.
So
you guys have swung round to the side.
Bust into the side.
I get to see all of that from the outside. And while that's going on, Antonia directs us to put some fire literally into the fort. So we're shooting over the top
Jesus
of the fort.
Christ.
Into the rear line as they're hitting.
Oh, if you thought you were having a bad day in the middle, any line that you want to form is being bombarded by arrows.
It was so good. Like, she literally just like drew, I think there was like 4 or 5 of us. And she was like, everybody, like, aim, fire. And we just put like a volley into the fort. It was so cool, and who knows what effect that had, right? But just as a visual,
it
looked
so cool.
Amazing.
Hey, in theory it's effective too, right? Yeah. So then did the front door break? Like, how did that work?
The front
out?
Door was basically, it was an opening that was guarded by the shield wall of orc.
Yeah, but they've just been flanked, right?
Basically, no, they've been knocked back, and basically Navarre storming that way. There's Navarre on the outside who are basically trying to pick off people as they're trying to flee out the side, or as they're sort of
turns
retreating
to
out.
Massacre, wow. Which is where I am.
So basically...
Oh, so they literally went out the front door?
They pushed them right out of the whole thing.
Basically, there's a side door which was originally where Navarre were basically going to be...
Yeah, your version of side and front is different from...
So basically, this side entrance and the front, obviously, there. We're down where this trench is on the other side entrance.
Yeah.
Initially, our plan, what we were there, was to stop people coming out the flank Dawn as they're coming in the front.
It's a good tactic, yeah.
Yeah,
and again, obviously, we're now there, and also
but they drew so many forces in defence that this worked out wonderfully.
Yeah, and basically we're just dealing in little skirmishes.
Yeah, and essentially the two forces swapped roles. So then Dawn were on the outside, killing everybody with us, the Navarchers, and a couple of other Navarre forces, killing everybody coming out. So it's sort of the two nations, main nations.
Oh my god, can you imagine trying to run from that?
People were just running out the fort and just getting shot down, or just they'd step out, they just get sort of cleaved and killed.
And then we've completely taken the fort, the rituals are taking place, and then at that point we're basically guarding a lion against a load of orcs on the opposite of basically of the road out
from the reinforcements that were coming back.
So now we have to go and do two rituals.
The rituals have to be done. So basically, we're outside guarding the fort while the rituals are being done.
Okay.
So again, it's basically again, the Navarchers are behind our main line. We've got skirmishes going about on the main on the front lines between. Again, we've got Navarre. We've got a few marches. We've got Dawn near the nearer the fort as well, and then just the orcs basically trying to goad us in. There's a ambidextrous Navarre who is an absolute beast. He was just like, literally walking.
I know the guy you mean.
In basically what the equivalent to no man's land, and just charging at like small groups of the orcs and just flurry blows across the load of them.
Yeah,
and he was. It's just like. That is the embodiment of the Navari form.
Isn't it crazy like, when you see someone
hero just, characters?
Yeah,
he's just like, boom, this is my character. I'm going to fuck some shit up. And it's insane to watch him go. And it's like, wow, I would love to be that confident in my skills.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near as good as he is with the swords.
But it's just, like, it's more just RP, right? The confidence is kind of like the RP to go out and do
it. No, but there'll be... You're building experience every time you do
it. Oh, yeah, and the skill to pull it off afterwards, but the RP to go out. And the
confidence as well, yeah.
Yeah, so we're holding this line backwards and forwards. I end up becoming part of the second line, right behind the first, basically because you've got the guys with the shields at the front, and basically what's happening is as people are going in the front are going down, I'm basically dragging them off the line to a medic. The physics bubble was in the perfect position. We had the front line...
Well, you brought Darius to me at one point. And then I healed you both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, the Navarchers, the front line, and just behind the Navarchers, round up a little bit of cover, was the physic blob.
Yeah.
And
there's this perfect efficiency of
perfect action, efficiency, right? Basically, I was bringing people off of the line to the physics, not people calling for physics at the line, which is the worst idea.
Archers are moving constantly up and down up behind and down. The line, so just kind of shooting shots out.
Picking them off, and there's one orc archer I can see is pissing off all of the Navarchers. Oh,
there's this guy, he's just like, he was off the chain. He was like dodging and dancing everything and taunting and, like, other shots.
Taunching.
What did I say? You've got to get so inside good. The head it of was, archers, man.
It was literally, he was doing that to the entire lot of them. You could tell that. By the end of it, they all got like, no, we're just wasting arrows at this guy.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it was absolutely intense. Just, again, just doing that and then coming back to the line. Another person with a shield would jump in and it's like, okay, back to the second. Oh, someone else has gone down. Get them out to the physics.
Did you anyone see the rituals take place?
No.
Did not. I mean, but the fact they managed to pull them off, so each ritual is 10 minutes long, so I have to hold it for 20 minutes. We're under constant attack, and they're trying to constantly draw us out, so I assume they can take the fort back.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the ritual completes, and then the idea is that then we now have to withdraw, right? So we have to basically make a slowly collapsing line that will turn into a column that will pull people out.
Push the line forward so we're on the roads behind the front line.
Yep.
Get everyone out of the fort, like the ritualists and all that, out, clear, and then we start falling back.
So you're falling a warm wall in front of them. Yeah. You're making a corridor, and then you pull back on that corridor.
And then we're all pulling back, and basically then we're all moving sort of more of a sideways way out of the doorway with the guy.
You're making a wall, right?
Yeah, and just then basically just sliding out of the doorway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at this point, I think a couple of the archers and like the last part of the Navari unit as it's sort of slowly folding out. But basically with a character, a person called, I think she's called...
Who's going to the paper?
Ceres, I think. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And she's the lucky second that we mentioned in the previous thing. And so she's leading pretty badass, right? She's leading this kind of, as I say, kind of towards the end segment of the Navari that are in the section. We're just guarding this corridor. And that was really cool. So we were just sort of slowly collapsing the line. And we pull out, and then I think it was one of the other nations who were actually the last people to pull out. Yeah. They were kind of falling back slowly.
They end up being... You end up meeting back up with me, Dave, Big D, and the rest of his new brand. And basically, we're holding a flank near the woods sort of thing. And then obviously, everyone else is pulling out towards the gate. And then I think it was Dawn are still fighting orcs at the gateway.
For the glory. Yeah.
Going really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you say to Darius, like, they need to get out. We have like 5 minutes.
There's a massive gap developed between Navarre, who have basically moved towards the gate to leave.
He's definitely exploded. Yeah.
And all of the other nations, pretty much, it seems, who are kind of fighting these little pocket battles up at the thing.
All in retreat, by the way. Bravo. All the retreats are hard.
Yeah.
Ian here goes off, says to Darius, like, they really need to start pulling back. And then he's like, you know, I'm going to try and see if I can speak to him. He goes off. And
so
you
just
like,
ran off.
I just ran off.
Between this no man's land.
Towards these guys.
I saw what looked like a general blob. And I was like, a blob of all the generals, all the different nations. It just time, whoever looked the shiniest and the most important.
Me and Darius going, well, I wonder how that's going to go. And we're just sort of saying, like, we're going to have to go very soon. I hope he comes back. And then also look over. Ian's walking back to us. And Darius is like, he's got a fucking army with him. the entire fucking Dornish army is just basically marching behind Ian. It's just like...
It was ludicrous. So, like, I run up there. And then again, this is the interesting thing. It could all be head fantasy. But I basically ran up to who I assumed was, like, the main general unit. And as I say, it's all descended into these little battles that seem to be on running. And it's obviously, I just say, do we need to get everybody out? And, like, Navarre holding the gate, you know.
It's gonna
you need to bring all of your forces out.
The door's closing now, right?
And it's like, I was like, we've got 5 minutes. You need to get all of these people out. And like they just said, yeah. I mean, and I don't think, not in a disrespectful way, I just think, you know, that they'd have come to the same conclusion.
Just happened to be great timing.
It just, yeah. But like, and then I just start walking back.
Who gives a shit, right?
I just start walking back.
It doesn't matter if it's good timing or not. The whole army was following Talis Ashborn back to the fucking gate.
I start walking back, right? And I don't even look behind me. And I kind of see them kind of, by them, I mean, sorry, Bungle and Darius and all of the others, just like looking at me, and I kind of look behind me quickly, and I see that yes, there is like a large part of the force coming with me, and I did like a cheeky little bow, and I was like, "Look what I found!" And it was so cool. I did a little theatrical bow,
and then just yelling at the Dornish guys, like, "Watch your fucking flank!" As they're going up, it's like, "We're standing here watching this. You can watch it now," and then we just start walking out.
That's hilarious.
It's like,
yeah, I mean, I just
oh, man,
stole
it sounds
it was
like
so cool.
A hell of a battle, man.
The battle was incredible. I mean,
do you know what the worst thing is? I'm missing it and then going into the long dark that we're going into now.
You gotta
satisfy yourself on that LARP stuff, man.
Yeah.
You can't leave yourself.
It was so good. Yeah. It was, I mean, really was amazing. Like taking the fort and everything that was involved in that was fantastic. The monsters were incredible, by the way. Like, the RP from the monsters was just fantastic.
Sounds like one hell of a fight.
Yeah. Everything was amazing. It was just so good.
So what happened? So you got back.
Yeah.
Related.
Get back.
We did the standing real briefly.
Yeah, we stayed for the standing debriefing. And no shenanigans whatsoever. No. That's when one of the, I think it was a member of the, even the militia or the Inquisition, in regards to a certain virtue. One of the virtues.
Yeah.
Basically was asking in regards to, apparently, some of the third time people were calling out about how they're the assassins, and how they want to ask in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a few people who promised their fleets to a certain cause and then dropped out.
Ooh.
Which, basically, guides are going to be getting involved because that's you breaking an oath there. You've sworn your fleet to this
cause. Yeah, that sounded really serious, actually. Bear in mind, that's not... But, like... So every player gets a resource, we should say. So for example, I have a herb garden. I think you guys have businesses and farms.
Yeah.
So these generate like either money in your case or whatever, but they represent things, right? So it's also possible to have a fleet or have a military unit as your resource. And they'll basically, they give you stuff during downtime is the way of thinking of it. They give you coin or herbs or whatever. But fleets you can actually, and military units, you can actually choose to give them to causes. And then those causes might... you know, help the nation or whatever, or help whatever the military commanders are trying to do. So
and there's some big shit with that, right?
Or you could send your ships out merchant trading or doing something
or
else.
Pirating.
So
or pirating.
Yeah, so people obviously, I guess, didn't, you know, they said they were going to do it and then didn't do it. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting RP to think about that. Like, how does that play out?
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of really interesting. There's so much cool stuff.
I really like the idea of being a seafaring.
Yeah, you seem really, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things to do there. Yeah, okay, so.
So after that, it's basically we just decided to pack up, done, basically, and head
on. And I met you back here, because it turns out.
Before I left, I went and met up with Darius at his camp.
Yeah.
And basically, I've decided that I will be taking his brand.
Yes.
Next season.
Yeah, yeah, we need to talk about, like, do we RP us making that decision? I feel like we already...
No, but that's a personal decision.
I've RP'd
myself. I agreed it to do it when we were on that skirmish. But maybe we should kind of come with...
I mean, it's like what your character chooses, do up to you. But, like, we can announce things to the Ashbourne. We'll do our own little standing or something.
Yeah. We've got, like... we've got a couple more people interesting coming along, which is nice. Yeah, that's
it's next time's really exciting. You know, we're looking at having another tent potentially, and more people coming, and just the Ashbourne's growing, okay, and it's kind of exciting.
I want to talk about adding a non-person that we know really well.
Yeah, someone that we don't know at OC, yeah,
out of character, into our striding, and we are a private group, right? Yeah. And this would be for the Ashbourne, someone that wasn't in Hordaland because they're already in Empire.
Yeah, so someone who's separate from the Ashbourne story, which is really interesting.
This is a huge question for us as a striding, right? Like, are we just from, if you had that experience, will there be any resentment to someone that would join after? What's our feelings towards that, right? Like, it's an interesting little dynamic,
I think we will have to IC that. Yeah. Like, I think like that's part of it, but I think like we've all, and what's kind of brought it up is the fact that we've all kind of encountered some people who obviously we just really like, both OC, IC, and it's like they would maybe be really good fits for the Ashbourne. We don't know, and then would we, you know, would they even want to? So it's just like broaching all of that sort of stuff, and I think there's a reward to doing a majority of it, IC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's just logistically pulling it off. So I think we'll have to sort of think about that.
I think there's stuff that we need to talk about OC.
Yeah.
And then we need to talk about communicate OC to potentially people.
Yeah, yeah. But there's ways of doing it, right?
And then then we work it out.
It's even doing stuff through IC mail as well.
Yeah, I like the idea.
I have a diffing pen at home that is aching to do something. To do something with.
Yeah, I think it's. I think there's. The kind of opportunity for downtime chats.
Yeah.
And also, God, there's... you create this little thing.
Yeah.
And then for us, it's more like we've had... I've spoken to different people who are close friends of mine who have been like, you're kind of into some little geeky stuff. I wonder whether I could tempt you with this. And then they're like really down with it once they start learning about it. So... LARP has an interesting draw, right? And it draws interesting people. Do you know what I mean? Like, really smart people I've met. Do you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. There seems to be a...
More just, like, imaginative people, right? Yeah. People who can... Because there's the element of seeing yourself potentially doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And then once you can get past, in a sense, that part, you know, the apprehension about doing it or the fear of doing it, but as soon as you're kind of imagining yourself doing it and what would that would feel like and entail, you're kind of already halfway there. And then it's, you know, whether or not you do it or the availability of wherever it is in your area, that's sort of secondary, you know.
This time around, I really had a sense of, I want to raise a toast to solo players, right? Like, because we've had a few people get in contact with us and we've bumped into a few people and they've been solo players. And you, my friends... have balls of solid granite, like unbelievable. Like we've had a really nice like support network of talking to our friends, and we've got people to bounce stuff off and experience it with.
Very lucky the people we've met as well. Just like everyone's been super amazing.
The solo players I've seen, and this is kind of what I want to lead on to kind of close out potentially is, I've seen a lot of. There's been I can think of two incidents at E4 that were like. Players who were kind of talking about that they were not necessarily the character they are in character compared to who they are OC.
Yeah.
Right? And, okay, so couple of the specifics were people that looked like they wouldn't be good at public speaking or didn't come naturally to them, holding large groups of people's attention very easily. Right.
Yeah, yeah. It gives people a chance to experiment with different parts of their personality if they want to.
Yeah, we saw a father-son group, like they were going around together and they were ICing as a family, and there was like this wonderful thing where people were learning about the real world by being in character, right? Like and it, like father-son, like whatever, parent-daughter, like brother, sister, whatever you want to put
just
it to.
Just friends.
Or just friends. Yeah. And they're all kind of like adults or children. Yeah. Were like, there seems to be this is such early stages in this thought that I'm having right now that I'm saying, but it's interesting to watch people and how they might potentially be developing certain sides of the personality that aren't their strongest. You know, like I'm certainly learning stuff about me through my own RP.
And like, it's strange how, for example, you can be quite confident, like within, say, your job or any of these things, kind of if talking to somebody about what you do and what your job is and all that
your
kind of
world,
stuff.
Right?
But doing RP like this and talking with people, it does put you on also on a different type of kind of anxiety pressure. And it's just getting yourself past that and being, you know, comfortable with the idea of not necessarily delivering stuff always 100% or whatever, and not putting the pressure on yourself to do that.
Yeah, it's a game.
Yeah, and
it's a game. You don't need to forget. It's always just a game. I think you put it really well in one of the when we were talking another time on the podcast where you were saying about how even the bad things that happen to you have positive repercussions. Right? Yeah. It won't be disastrous to your actual life when you try to step up to the plate and try to do something dramatic and everything went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to potentially do that, but even if it does go wrong, to learn from that experience in a very safe environment. And I think that's something
really
great.
It's super good. I mean,
this is something that, like I said, it's very early in my head and it's very early in my kind of observations of it, but it feels already in my small sample there's something to this, you know? So
LARP is fantastic. I can see like loads of positives, like, you know, that you can just see openly around you and just in terms of people interacting with each other and just the confidence and good meaning that it brings out in everybody, you know?
I think sometimes it was going to take different times to different people, right? Like I feel pretty confident now, mainly because also there's loads of caveats. I've got all my friends around me. I feel confident in who I am and what I'm doing. But that took 3 sessions to get to where I am now.
I mean, from my personal experience, I mean, I hate big crowds. I'm quite, well, it's a bit of social anxiety, really. It's like, I don't, even like when I'm with friends, I don't like going to pubs or...
Or for too long, right? There's a certain tolerance for it.
I can only stay for a certain amount of time. Like, when we've been out, nights out, I'll usually either disappear off somewhere for quite a while or have to at least go get some fresh air for at least half an hour because I just can't take being surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas... At LARP, I'm a completely different person.
Mm-hmm. It's,
yeah.
I get to be like, oh no, I can... It's like when playing, when we did D&D years ago, being able to actually, you know, I'm going to go the polar opposite of my actual character.
You can just, you can experiment
just,
with things,
have
really
so much
healthily.
Fun with it. And it's just like, it's helping with that. And I'm finding that's helping in my actual real life, being able to get a bit more to grips with the thought of going out
and talking with people, and
because I feel like talking to strangers and
there are some very like I'm talking about like maybe what could be described as extreme cases of people that are very very not like personable people for whatever reason. There's a place for them to get better, but whatever level you are, I feel like there's something to be gained from testing yourself.
It's role play and LARP, right? I think I think the therapeutic qualities of it are something probably, you know, if channeled correctly and stuff, I think...
Yeah,
very,
if channeled correctly, work, like
I
anything
mean,
in life.
And I think LARP is actually just because it's so friendly and everyone's so supportive and everyone, importantly, is kind of there with the idea of moving, like, sharing towards a goal of making it awesome, right? And that involves or everything not. That is...
I mean, shit.
Yeah, but even that's my exact thing. Like, everything that happens that's bad is part of everybody trying to make it awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, you need things like, you know, bad events to occur, I see, in order for the good things to have weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that translates into more, you need, like, events to happen in LARP for RP to occur to allow people to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, true. Right, I feel like we should end it there.
Yeah.
Right?
It had a great, great time.
It's going to be obviously, the next event is not till April. Is
April,
right?
Yeah.
April.
Yeah.
So,
late April a bit of a break. As well.
Now, I don't want to say, there's a tiny little potential surprise episodes that might come, right? So,
yeah.
There's one thing that's really confirmed right now that I'm on the cusp of going to go and do. Oh, shit. Do you know what? Before I do this, Unilad.
Yeah.
We just heard, literally, this is about 2 weeks after the LARP event, which is the longest we've left a gap, by the way. Unilad's just gone under, and, like, people might have lost their jobs, which is fucking awful and absolutely... I mean...
Yeah, as a reminder, these are the people who were doing the documentary.
Yeah, these are the people that were doing a documentary on LARP, on Empire. They've gone gaming... Like to they've gone LARPing before.
Seem to have done a really good job.
Yes,
just fitting in and doing it.
But either way, anyone losing their jobs is an absolute tragedy, right?
Yeah.
I saw just before we started recording that the CEO was talking about there's potential buyers and all the stuff that goes along with that. We don't know what's going on with that. We don't know what's going on with the footage. It's kind of just a...
It's an interesting
I think
one,
I've just about got round to the idea of it being a good idea, and now it's
I was actually quite... interested in seeing it, you know, which is very strange from where I came before. It's like, it's not really going to be for me. I'm not going to watch this. I don't really care for it that much.
I'm curious about what a good editor can do with it.
Yeah.
Right? There's and then an attitude towards the edit. there's a lot of stuff to do with that I'm like, okay, let's see. But now...
I'm interested enough to want to see it, right? The fact that I may not be able to see it now is...
Yeah, but also, I think, this is also, like, I've become a lot more comfortable with the idea of LARPing and publicly LARPing. Like, I feel like...
Talking to people about LARP.
Yeah, weirdly, I have found people incredibly cool with stuff. Like,
Of course
people more are. But more than I expected people to be.
Like, I kind of found this a while ago. Like, I mean, obviously, I work in a very particular environment that's sort of, like, I work in an academic library, and it's... I think people are more generally inclined to sort of think that sort of thing is...
They're librarians.
Yeah, right?
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, just all those kind of hobbies, all those kind of things. I think everyone's much more kind of cool with it now. It sounds fun. It sounds different. It's not too far from doing paintballing or doing...
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like, okay, you're going
to... I talked to a friend who was... When I was talking to him about it, he was talking about Airsoft.
Airsoft is just...
Airsoft is essentially light LARP. Yeah. Light LARP, sorry.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see how different people approached that and how RP they were about it. It was interesting to see parallels. Yeah.
I mean, to even say something like paintballing is almost even extremely light LARP.
It's battling the park with your weapons, right?
But you're given a role, right? That as soon as you're given a role and you're put in a position to do something with it. And this is not saying that all RP and LARP comes from the combat, because... some of the best experiences are outside of combat.
I would say so. My best RP of the weekend was me sitting with a person and then drawing three cards off the top of a deck of normal, like tarot cards.
Yeah.
That was the best RP I had the whole weekend. It was awesome.
I think, like me personally, I still have loads of stuff to learn about delivering whatever I want to sort of share into the world of Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And just... going for it, really. But I'm still in that sense very much like a noob, like just getting to that stage where I feel like I'll be RPing more and stuff, and I'm just, every time I go, I feel like that side of me gains confidence, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. The people I've met have been fantastic. I can't wait to continue the my own story. I can't wait to see other people's stories continue.
Yeah,
like fucking A. Like, let's bring on next year, let's bring on the awesome.
Strength to the Empire.
Strength to Navarre.
And I think that's probably a good point for us to stop. Well, Sinwick, I don't suppose we could charter your ship.
Of course. I would like some money, though. You know, nothing is for free, friend.
Of course, of course. Just so you know,
it will be treacherous.
Ah, treachery is my middle name. It's not, it's Kenneth.
Well, on to your ship then.